Then after saying this, he says, قَيِّمًا لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْهُ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا قَيِّمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it's perfectly upright. First he said there's no crookedness, then he says perfectly upright. Means this is what you need to hold on to. Okay, there is no deviation from the truth in this, as opposed to people who have changed their books and their values. If you look at some of the people of previous scriptures, whole things, the value has completely changed. What was forbidden for them has become permissible, and so on and so forth. And it keeps changing, including in the Catholic Church, what was not permissible becomes permissible, and so on and so forth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's perfectly upright, لَيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا, to warn them, as nadir, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the book is a nadir, warner, and a bashir, giving glad tidings. Warn them of what? Of بَأْسًا شَدِيد, of a grievous penalty, which is what? Jahannam. For people who disbelieve, who reject, who disobey, مِنْ لَدُنْهُ, from him, from Allah alone, that punishment. وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ, and to give glad tidings, good news, bashara, to believers who believe in this, and who show their belief by what? الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, they do amal, salih, good deeds, virtuous deeds. What is a good deed? What Allah loves and pleased with, what He commands, done according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the intention of pleasing Allah. That's amal salih. Anna lahum ajran hasana, that for them there is a beautiful reward. So one is severe punishment, one is a beautiful reward. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say what that beautiful reward is, which is going to come in the next. Makithina fihi abada, where they will live, abide forever. So what is that? That ayah doesn't mean that it's the reward in the dunya. Yes, there will be reward in the dunya for doing good deeds and having iman. But what is referred here is Jannah. Because that's the only place where you will live forever. وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, and to warn those who say that Allah has taken a son. Who's that? Later Christianity, 325 years or so after Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, when they had this Nicene declaration by the Roman emperor who had become Christian, of this, the Trinity was put into effect as the faith, and said, you know, He's the Son of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and to warn them, even though the Quran is coming down to the Meccan, there is a warning for them, because it will go to them, that they have taken a son. And there is also reference in the Quran that some of the Jewish sects had taken Uzair alayhi salam as son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you know, the Quraysh of Makkah used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters. And who are the daughters? The angels. So they assigned a female sex to the angel, okay, which Allah did not, and made them daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the arguments He gives to them is, you are so ashamed to have a daughter that if a daughter is born, your face turns black and you bury her, and you have no problem assigning daughters to Allah, if you think that way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and to warn them, those who claim that Allah has taken a son. What happened here? Anybody got a mushaf? Because I'm not on a hot spot here. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they have no knowledge, neither did their forefathers, their parents. كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا. What they utter with their mouths is grave. This is serious. This is not a joke saying Allah has taken a son. So what comes out of their mouth? تخرج من أفواههم. Just what they say. إن يقولون إلا كذبا. It is nothing except lies. What do we learn from that? We never say anything about Allah that He has not authorized. Because this is kaburat. Okay. Only what He has authorized, what He has said, what is known for sure. He said it in the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that's what we say about Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, that slight reprimand to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so anxiety to convert, will they believe? فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Will you destroy yourself just grieving over them that they will accept? In other words, this is also telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are not the one who can guide them. You can only give them the message. You can feel badly for them, but don't think that I have to convert them otherwise this way. Only Allah controls the guidance. So yes, His job is to convey the message in the most beautiful way to the people so that they may believe. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَّبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى مَا عَلَى. The word مَا is open. Everything that's on the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have made zina as something that's a decoration, a beautified it. For what purpose? لِنَبْلُوَ, so that we may try you. بَلَى نَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ, to see who is the best of them. Now what does it mean, what مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, what is on the earth? What are we talking about? Commonly, what do we think of? Wealth, resources, mansions, companions, this physical things we see. Emotions, feelings, thoughts, everything is created. All of them are a test for you. You have a child. I have an emotional attachment. I have love. That's a creation of Allah. Also a test. Does that love lead to me disobeying Allah? My love for my mother, does it lead me to disobey Allah? So there can be no love, no attachment, independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wanting to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondary to that, because otherwise it becomes a real fitna. Al malu wal banuna zinatul hayat al dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is a zina, this is beautiful. Elsewhere He says mal and your banun are a innamal amal malu wal banuna fitna. Is a trial that way. So we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that everything created is to see what we will do. And ahsanu amala, action, not oh, I know what's the right thing to do. It's not about just having ilm. Do you actually do it? Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see action. وَإِنَّا لَجَعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرَزًا. And indeed, whatever we have created, we will dry it up and level it and destroy it. It will become like stubble. And this is interesting. If you take these two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indirectly talks about, the zina of this dunya, the natural resources, when the fitna, this is part of those first 10 ayahs, when the fitna of Dajjal comes, he will regulate those zina. He will make things good. You believe in me, whatever you want, I will give you of the dunya. You want wealth. He will command the earth, and the earth will put out its gold. This pile of gold is yours. You believe in me. You want to eat, risk, he will control the risk. If you believe in me, rain will come here, crops will produce, you will eat. If you don't believe in me, I will dry it up, you will die of hunger or thirst. That's going to be the trial. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that ultimately, all of that belongs to him, including the power that is given to Ad-Dajjal. So once we know that, it strengthens us when we are faced with that fitna of Dajjal. Yeah, you are doing it, I know that. But I know who is the real one. Okay, so I'm not impressed. You people bringing people back to life and cutting them in two and putting them to... I'm not impressed. Because I know it's only Allah. Now comes the first ayah. We're only going to do 10. About that starts the story of the Kahf. أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابُ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, do you think that this story of the Ashab al-Kahf is such a wondrous story? Ajib, you're so fascinated by it. In other words, you think it's so fascinating. In the big picture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is nothing. Yes, for you it's very wondrous. That's why they're asking these questions. But for Allah, it's nothing. So Allah is asking a question. Do you think that this story of the Ashab al-Kahf, wa-raqim, the raqim is translated as an inscription by most of the scholars, that perhaps there was a plaque with something commemorating that was put on where the cave was. Raqim by most people means an inscription, something carved into the stone. So we don't know for sure, but that's the understanding. Kanu min ayatina, that it is from our signs, something very wondrous. And then the 10th ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just giving us the introduction. إِذْ إِوَ الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَحَيِّلْنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when the fitya means young people, late teen, 20s, that there were these Ashab al-Kahf, the people of the cave, were youngsters, young men. Okay, we're not talking numbers, young men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they took refuge in this cave, and they went, fityatun ila al-kahfi faqalu. So when they went there, what did they say? Rabbana. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say why they went. He's not even saying right now that they were being persecuted for their religion. They were going to be killed. They went to the cave, and the first thing they go there and they make dua. Rabbana atina min ladunka. Ya Allah, bestow on us from you rahma, mercy. Wa hayyit lana min amrina rashada. And make our affair on the right guidance. Guide us to do what is right. That's where the 10 ayahs end. And next comes the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that dua. But if you think of that picture of protection from Dajjal, we have the ayats of the Tawheed to tell us who Allah is, the revelation, that just like the cave, the Kahf was what? Was a physical protection for these people. They found refuge in this. Just to give you a background, from the Christian sources, that these were believing youngsters. And the Christians said that they were Christians. They could have been from the Jews, because there is no exact period given, but they were believers of the time, believers in Tawheed. And they were living under the rule of the Roman Empire at the time, which was a pagan empire. So if this, and the closest story that comes is the seven sleepers of Ephesus, and Ephesus is today called Seljuk, which is in the Izmir province of Turkey. And if you want to see those pictures, I'll show you the pictures of what the cave looks like and where it is from a few years ago. So their story is that they lived in this pagan culture and they were believers. And then the emperor or the king came and he had built this temples over there to the kings Zeus and Apollo and Artemis. The structure of art, the temple of Artemis still exists, it's ruins there. Okay. And said, everybody come and worship and pay your respects. And these people said, we believe in Allah. Okay, which means death penalty. If you don't believe, means you're rebelling against what the king says. So to protect themselves, these were supposedly the elite young people from wealthy families. They left everybody. They left their parents. They ran away together because they were believers. They were buddies. They were friends strengthening each other. Let's run. And they ran into some mountains and they found a cave and they took refuge. So they did physically what you're supposed to do when a fitna comes is to protect yourself. They didn't say, okay, kill us, we'll be martyrs. Right? So they did that. What we're supposed to do when you face a trial is take your precautions, what is within your ability. But don't depend on that. What is the first thing they did? Dua. So when the Dajjal comes, we are encouraged, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the believers should run into the mountains. Don't go and fight him. Yes, ultimately the Dajjal will be destroyed. But if you encounter him, recite this. So, Kahf was the physical protection for these seven, or I'm using the word seven, for these youth. So our protection in case of fitna is what is mentioned in the book. What is that? Al-Kitab, with no crookedness, that is straight. That you hold on to the book of Allah, the rope of Allah. And that's your protection. Your kahf and my kahf is not a cave, physical cave. Even though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given wahi in a cave of Hira, and he was protected in the cave of Thawr, our cave is the Quran. Okay, that's our protection. Okay. And so when we have a problem, any kind of fitna in our life, what should we turn to? The Quran. That's our cave. That's where we find protection. And then we do dua to Allah. Ya Allah, solve my problem. Help me. Okay. That's what we learn. So, this is what happened. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops with this dua. Because after this, the next ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what he did in response to that. Which is not your protection. That's why the protection comes here. That is the response. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ السِّنِينَ عَدَدًا. Then what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do in response? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we put on their hearing complete loss of sound for years. Just mentioned. He doesn't say I put them to sleep. He said, ضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ means like on their ears, something happened that they could hear nothing. They were undisturbed and they were put to. We know they slept because it comes later, but that's all he says. So Allah's protection for them was to put them to sleep. Till such time, 309 years later, when they woke up, everything had changed, including the Roman emperor at the time had become Christian and was promoting that. So now they come back into very friendly environment from a hostile environment. But from the Dajjal, our protection is not going to be by being put to sleep. Our protection from the Dajjal is going to be through Isa alayhi salam, who will come and who will kill the Dajjal. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't go beyond that ayah. That's just the relevant. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it ends with making you do your precautions, have your iman, make dua for protection, and that's that. So that's where we will end on ayah number 11. And then we will, inshallah, continue with the story on the next one. And then the khutbah that comes after the lessons of it, inshallah. So سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.